Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you ever need to send money to another country? Well, if you do, you need to know about TransferWise, the cheaper and easier way to send money abroad. TransferWise was founded by two engineers, Tavit and Christo, who frequently needed to send money to family and friends across the globe. They felt trapped by big bank fees and bad exchange rates, and they wondered, what if we could band with other people sending money internationally and bypass the banks entirely? Well, that was 6 years ago. Today, a community of millions use TransferWise. There are people sending money back home, businesses paying suppliers, freelancers getting paid, and the list goes on. TransferWise gives you a great exchange rate and low fees. But what I really like is that the folks at TransferWise are all about how much money they save people, not how much they make off of them. That's people like you who now have extra to spend on more important things, because no one ever said, it's important that my bank get some extra fees. See how much you could save at TransferWise.com or on the TransferWise app. Again, that's TransferWise.com. TransferWise, as in, I'm going to do something wise today. TransferWise.com. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. I have an episode for you today that's going to probably gross you the hell out. I want to make a little disclaimer before I even start talking that I'm going to share a story in today's podcast about our recent travels and how we made our way from Sweden to Aruba on what from here on now is dubbed the flight from hell. If you're sensitive to gross stuff, you might want to not listen and go do something else. If you're not sensitive, without further ado, here we go. just starting to tell this story gives me like icky goosebumps. You know that feeling when you shiver because like, oh no. Yeah, that's how I feel just thinking about the fact that this journey happened. So I want to start off by saying, I'm back in Aruba. We have been here for a couple of days. I had a really rough night with the baby last night, didn't sleep at all. And then I have a 13-hour day at work today. I've also had a really angry day. I shared on Instagram just a couple hours ago that I'm angry. And I want to address that in the spirit of being from the heart and sitting with what's here and being real and vulnerable. I'm angry. Maybe someone out there is feeling the same or feeling like my sharing that I'm angry validates your, you know, being able to own your anger. So I hope that there's some connection there. But we've been having kind of a tough time this past week, actually. We had a really unfortunate thing happen with one of our employees that is also or was also a really, really good friend of ours here at the company. I shared a podcast a couple of episodes ago about feeling taken advantage of that also relates very much to this. This was just, I thought I was kind of done with that feeling of being taken advantage, and I did the podcast and I was closing a door there. But it turns out that that scenario, that story was just continuously playing out as I was recording that podcast and from then until now, so for the past 6 weeks. It's just the avenue that I have opened, or the channel that I have opened in which I allow people to take advantage, in which I somehow invite that into my life, it's still fucking playing out. So I have learned nothing. I guess that's the consensus. I have learned nothing. No, I mean, I'm learning and learning every day. What I'm feeling particularly angry about right now is that we had this unfortunate thing happen. I'm not going to go into any details because I don't want, again, I share this a lot. I don't like to share the drama. I like to share the lessons or the learnings, and there's still drama happening, so I don't want to get lost in that at all. But I think why I'm angry right now is, and I guess this is just what it's like being the boss, maybe, that I, in this scenario, have ended up taking a lot of the blame for something that wasn't even mine in the first place, which really is not a fun feeling to sit with at all. So these people that I'm referring to, they immediately, as this unfollowed and we had to let this person go, that person quit. I don't really know what happened or how that happened, but they immediately unfollowed me on all social media. And I don't care about social media. Social media doesn't matter at all. But it's just a really strong, at least, reflection for me of who they are blaming here. Because no one, you know, they didn't unfollow Dennis or anybody else that was actually involved with what was happening. So I feel unjustly treated. And I woke up this morning after a rough night with the baby, and I was just like feeling kind of icky, like, oh, why do I have to be the bad guy all the time? I kind of have this, pattern where I take the role as the bad guy. I think because I speak up, I'm really vocal. In case you hadn't noticed, every podcast episode has a little explicit content warning because I curse a lot. I am really vocal, especially when I feel mistreated or when I feel like there's injustice happening in the world. I'm a Libra, so injustice is like my thing. I can't stand it. And specifically on a really personal level, when I feel mistreated or when I feel things aren't right, it angers me, which usually fuels me speaking up about something. So I guess because of that, I end up taking the blame. And we had a really interesting day today where I led a dynamic meditation, which is, if you don't know what a dynamic meditation is, go look it up right now. So it's based in the lineage of Osho, one of my, I don't want to say guru because I really don't like that word. Nako, one of my favorite singers, sings "Be Your Own Guru," which I really, really stand behind. He's a spiritual teacher whose teachings I really love. If there is an Osho center anywhere around you, go do a dynamic meditation. It's basically acting out what you feel. That's kind of the whole gist of it. So there's several stages to this meditation. It's very dynamic, very active, physically exhausting. And the second stage of a dynamic is allowing you to really go crazy with everything that you're feeling, to let everything out. So to totally go mad, which usually means that in the room, a lot of anger and sadness and a lot of emotion comes out. And for me this morning, when I was holding the space for the team, I felt like I opened a little door to anger that I didn't really feel was present before. But then when I walked away from the meditation, from the room, it's a whole hour. And, you know, the acting out of emotions is only 10 minutes. It's only a short part, but I didn't close it. I didn't feel that complete, like, oh, okay, I'm done with that now. Quite the opposite. I felt almost like it fueled my anger. So I walked around all day feeling kind of pissed off, which isn't a fun feeling to sit with at all. And it's also not something that, you know, that you want to take with you into your relationships or into your daily interactions. And I talk about this a lot, how the energy that we walk around with, or the vibration that we send out, is automatically always reflected back to us immediately. Where attention goes, energy flows. So whatever we sit with, we tend to have manifested back in our lives. And I am a motherfucking walking example of this happening today, because I woke up angry. I was angry all, you know, morning. And then I did that meditation and it just kind of made me even more angry. And what do you think happened after that? Well, something that's been bothering me a lot. No, let me rephrase. Everything that's been bothering me about the yoga studio, about Island Yoga, over the past month. So we have several things when it comes to like construction and vendors we've worked with, things that haven't been working here in terms of the physical space that has annoyed the living hell out of me for months. And what do you think? Today, all of these people show up to the studio, like somehow meetings to make all of this right. They just happened to take place today, of course, because I manifested that. So that means, so for instance, we have hurricane shutters in every window and every door of the studio. Not really because we're worried about hurricanes, even though maybe now with everything that's happening in the Caribbean, we should be, but because of security and safety. So instead of having, like a guard that walks the premises, even though Aruba is very safe, because this is such a valuable space and a huge space and a vast space. And we also have a garden that surrounds and it's kind of easy to just walk in. We closed the whole place down with these hurricane shutters. Well, from day one, they have not been working, especially the shutters that are in the Luna Shala, which is our most important space. And we have these two ginormously beautiful windows on either side of the altar. And like every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know, I walk into the Shala to practice or to teach. And one of those really ugly looking shutters is kind of half hanging, swinging in the wind, right where we practice, and it's stuck there and we can't move it. And no less than 8 times has this happened over the past months. 8 times we've had to call this company here to fix it, and they don't fix it. They just do something and then it happens again and again and again. And I've been so annoyed with this, like you would not believe, and feeling really like angry that we paid so much money for a service and it's not working and they're not fixing it. Like I feel like we are unfairly treated. And of course today, like I walk in and the goddamn hurricane shutter is stuck today of all days. And then we ended up pulling that whole company here and I was just like furious with them. This poor guy that came, and he was just a messenger. He's just a worker for this company. He's not the boss. It's not his fault. And he says, please, I'm so embarrassed that I'm here again. But unless we, you know, completely exchange everything, this is going to keep happening. And I don't know why my boss isn't here and taking care of this himself, because I can't fix this. But he doesn't want to, you know, pay for us to have a new thing. And I just felt like I kind of unleashed this whole thing of fury onto this poor, poor man. And then as we kept talking and I realized, okay, this is not his fault. Like it's not his business. I immediately had to apologize. And I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't sleep much last night and I'm having kind of a rough day, but can you imagine what it's like for us that, you know, it's been months and still we have this issue. Please, you know, can you help us make this right? And all day I've had these little things come my way. So I'm trying to sit with right now how to deal with this anger, or actually how to act it out, really, because that's what I need to do. And I already had a full yoga practice today. I did a dynamic meditation that allowed me to punch pillows and scream and yell and stomp my feet and be all crazy. But I think I'm going to need one more of those things for sure. Oh yeah, I'm allowing myself to land right now. So excuse my fire in my vibration right now, or rather, don't excuse it, because I'm just sitting with it right now. It is really interesting to me how everything I talk about in these podcasts every single week somehow manifests back my way. So specifically the topic of feeling taken advantage of has throughout these travels really come my way and hit me really hard. And I haven't arrived at a lesson yet. Ooh, did you hear what I just did? Blessing, lesson. I said lessing. Did I just invent a new word? I think I just invented a new word. Wait. I always say that, like blessings, lessons, like they're all the same. Maybe they're supposed to be called lessings. Oh, I love that. Okay, if anybody has ever coined that term before, I'm sorry, but I'm totally owning the creation of this word. Lessings. I love it.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
I want a body that feels good year round. My yoga practice is essential for a feel-good body, and the food that I consume is just as important. Fuel your healthy lifestyle through the fall season with nutritionist-approved meal prep delivery across the U.S. from Sunbasket. Sunbasket makes it easier and more convenient to commit to your health and wellness every single day. You receive organic and sustainable ingredients straight to your door. The ingredients are pre-measured and the step-by-step instructions are a piece of cake to follow. It's never been easier to cook delicious, seasonal, healthy meals right in your own kitchen. Sunbasket offers specific dietary needs like lean and clean, paleo, gluten-free, and vegetarian-friendly. Each order is created by award-winning chefs and approved by nutritionists. Whichever wellness journey you're committed to, there is a Sunbasket to meet your needs. No more running around town for the best ingredients or endless online scrolling for recipes and nutrition facts. In just 30 minutes, you will enjoy a delicious meal that your body will thank you for. Your new healthy lifestyle starts right now with Sunbasket. Go to sunbasket.com/yoga today and get $35 off of your first order. That's sunbasket.com/yoga to get $35 off. sunbasket.com/yoga.
Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
So, back to the topic of this podcast. I'm going to tell you now the story of how we got to Aruba. And people ask me a lot for travel tips because I travel a ton the past couple of years, not last year and definitely not this year with the baby, but I think five or six years before that, we've traveled almost nonstop. So a normal year, we'd have something around 40 travel weeks, which means that we are just always on the road, always traveling, always on a plane or in a car or in a hotel. That's just been kind of our life, touring and teaching yoga and leading retreats and things like that. And people ask me for travel tips a lot, and I have a bunch, but I have to say, now that I have a baby, I have none. Everything has changed. I'm not a good traveler anymore. I don't know how to travel with a baby. If anybody out there has a magical recipe for how to travel with a baby, please send it my way, because every time we've done this, and we've done it a lot in the 6 short months that we've had her, and I swear to God, it gets more challenging every single time. And I don't know. It doesn't really matter how much I prepare. A lot of it is a very mental thing, I've also realized. So by far the worst trip that we've had with the baby so far, it was the first flight ever. She was only 2.5 months and we flew to Sweden. So the first flight that we had. And then we had some friends say, oh, you know, but when the baby's that little, it's so easy because they just sleep and eat and poop and sleep and eat and poop. So it's just like they just sleep. It's totally fine. And it's a night flight going across the Atlantic. So it's a 10-hour night flight from Aruba to Sweden. And the baby's just going to sleep the whole way. So I was kind of confident and also terrified, but mostly like, yes, it's going to be fine, because she is a really good sleeper, was a really good sleeper back then. We step on the plane, She realizes she's on an airplane. She's totally freaked out by the idea of an airplane. She's in a metal tube with weird lighting and weird smells and sounds. And she just started crying, and she cried basically for 10 hours straight. She just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And she never cried like that before, ever. And we were, you know, stuck on a plane with people around us giving us the eyes, like, you know, the looks that people give people traveling with babies. And I just want to say, anyone out there who ever feels bothered by parents traveling with children or by families that are on planes, especially with crying babies, like, I know I used to be one of those people that I would never, ever look, you know, look that way at a person with a baby, because I could already then, like, fully under, not fully understand, but at least sense a little bit of, okay, if it's hard for me to be on a plane with a crying baby, imagine what it's like for the parents. Yeah. And now that I am a mom, I can totally own that and say, it doesn't matter how hard it is for you because you have a hard time sleeping or whatever, that the baby's crying. For me as a mom, frantically trying to calm a screaming baby on a 10-hour flight, there is, like, almost nothing worse than that. Like, I swear to God, it's the worst fucking thing in the whole world. So that flight, I mean, the first flight that we had, it was so awful, and I didn't sleep. And mostly, I was so nervous and so tense about the whole situation that I think that that just made everything worse. It really, really made things super challenging for me. So this flight that I'm going to share the beautiful little story of right now, it was this weekend. So it was on Saturday, so not even a week ago. And the baby is now 6 months old, which means she's like a little human being. She doesn't cry just like kind of for no reason anymore. She doesn't, she's already so grown in a way. That's totally, of course, different than a 2 or 3 month old. She's 6 months old now. And I can really feel like we are relating to each other in a wholly different way. So we are playing, we are talking, telling stories, reading books. I really was feeling very confident that this flight would be fine, because just we would just play all flight, because that's kind of what we do all day. And if she gets cranky, I know how to divert attention elsewhere, or, you know, she just needs to eat or to sleep a little bit. Like, it's normally really fine. Well, let me tell you, it was not fine. It was not even fine a little bit. So the story begins on Saturday morning, 3 a.m. I have to wake up 3 in the morning to catch a cab at 4 in the morning to go to the airport. The reason I had to take a cab is because the car that we had that we borrowed from my dad was full and did not fit me or the baby. Reasons to why this car was full, I'm going to blame my husband, but I'm equally to blame. He had two bicycles he was taking back to Aruba, and these road bikes or like Ironman bikes. I don't know anybody that knows bikes. They're really expensive and super fragile. So he has these kind of spaceship looking bags that he keeps the bikes in, and they take up a shitload of space. But I also had two suitcases. The baby had a suitcase. We had Ringo, of course, with his little suitcase. I mean, not for his stuff, but for actually, we have a carrier for him. Although I would love to imagine little Ringo with like a little backpack going traveling. Oh, how cute is that? If you don't know Ringo, Ringo is our Italian greyhound. He's our 4-year-old dog. He comes everywhere with us. So we had a lot of stuff. So I had to take a cab with the baby. And I had to 3 in the morning kind of get up and get ready. And then at 4 when the cab was there, I had to take the baby from the bed and put her in the car seat, which I was planning to do without waking her up. I totally failed. So she was up and she was awake in the middle of the night, which was not a good start because she really needs her nighttime sleep. But it was what it was. So I get to the airport and we're the first ones there. So my dad and Dennis went in another car. They had to pick up my dad so that my dad could take the car back home. So he was a little bit after me. But I get to the airport. Baby's awake, of course, super tired and like weirded out. Where am I in the middle of the night? And then I thought, you know what I'm going to do? This was very stupid, but I thought, since she's in her PJs now and she's already awake, I'm going to just change her into her like daytime clothes, like so she's, you know, travel clothes that we had planned for her so that she's not, you know, sitting in her PJs all day long. Babies don't care if they are in their PJs all day long. Nobody cares. Okay. It was more this idea that I had that we are starting our day now, so let's get dressed. Bad idea. I take her into the bathroom. I take her PJs off. And I don't know if it was because she was sleepy or whatever was going on. She was on this kind of, what do you call it? I only have the Swedish word for this. This table in the bathroom that you put the baby on when you change them. Changing table. Thank you. It's one of those changing tables that come out of the wall. And it was slanted downward for some reason a little bit. Not a lot, just a tiny bit. I take all of her clothes on. We're in this bathroom at the airport. And as I take her diaper off, she pees. But not like a normal amount of baby pee. She takes like a massive pee. And because of how the nursing table or the changing table was slanted, the pee is like pouring all the way up her little body, all the way up to her neck and into her hair. So it's basically like she took a shower in her own pee. Great start of the travel day. So it took me almost an entire box of wipes, like, you know, to wash her and clean her all the way. And I was really like, you don't want to sit and pee for a 20-hour travel, because we had 20 hours ahead of us of traveling to get home. It took me so long to clean this baby up. I clean her, I put clothes on, she's getting cranky because she's super tired, and then I put her in a stroller, and immediately as I put her in a stroller, I hear, and she just takes a massive poop. And of course, because she was sitting in the angle, she was sitting in the stroller, the poop is pushing all the way up her back and her neck and into her hair. So immediately I have to lift the baby out of the stroller, put her back in the bathroom and do the whole process all over again. And this was the first 30 minutes of us being at the airport. Like, it was the immediate thing that happened. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, we got all the bad stuff out of the way. I realized we didn't bring any plastic bags for dirty clothes, which I forgot. Huge mistake. So I had to go and kind of scramble around and ask for bags so that I didn't have to throw her clothes away. Dennis gets there with my dad, and I'm like, you're not going to believe what happened. It's 4:30 in the morning, and she's already had 2 outfit changes, but it's good. We got like the bad stuff taken care of. We took care of that. So it's already done. We get on the plane. We're the last ones to board the flight because of how long it took for Dennis to pay for his extra baggage of the bikes. We're the last people to board the flight, which of course means if you're the last people to board a flight, that there's no space for your hand luggage at all. And the hand luggage that we have, it's not like hand luggage that, you know, you can just gate check it and then you get it later. The hand luggage that we had was the baby's diaper bag, which is gold. If we would lose her diaper bag, like our lives would be over. And then we have Ringo. And I have like a purse and Dennis has a backpack or whatever. But like the big stuff is like Ringo and the diaper bag. We cannot not have those things. So we have to fight with the stewardesses and with the people on the plane to try to make space for our stuff. Everybody's looking at us. We're sweating. And now, of course, the baby starts getting cranky. It was just like one of those really tense moments on a plane. We finally somehow make space for our stuff. And then we have to squeeze our way in to the cabin and we sit down. Okay. And then things were kind of okay. Baby ate and then fell asleep. So there was no crying on this first flight. So the first flight took us from Stockholm to Amsterdam. It's about a 2-hour flight. It was not a big deal. It was just very hectic and stressful, you know, getting there. We land in Amsterdam, standing up, holding the baby. I hear the same sound again. She's taking a massive poop. And of course, because of the angle in which how I'm holding her, the poop is coming out of her diaper. And it's just like a massive situation. But we're on this cramped plane. Everybody's trying to get off at the same time. And then we have to kind of run out of the plane and try to find a bathroom. And there was no bathroom around. So we had to hold her like that for like 10 minutes while walking through the airport. Not her finest moment. And I don't know, she's normally not like a poop explosion type of baby. Like, we normally don't have them at all. So this was just one of those days, I guess. Dennis changes the baby's diaper. And then we go see his family. And Ilse had one of my best friends in the world surprise us at the airport, which was super amazing. So the 4-hour layover that we had in Amsterdam went by really, really quickly. Now things start getting kind of challenging. So she doesn't want to sleep. She's super tired. She's been up all night. She's getting really cranky, crying a lot, like at the airport. And we don't have a stroller to put her in because we didn't travel with a stroller hand or gate checked. So I'm getting really tense and really kind of nervous and tired. And then right before we say goodbye to Dennis's family, and I was with my friend Rose that came to visit, I realized, oh, wait, didn't I have something going on personally? Like me, you know, talking about all these bodily fluids and poop and pee. Yeah. The day before, I had gotten my period for the very first time. I cannot believe I'm sharing this in a podcast to all these people, but here we go. I got my period for the first time since having the baby, which meant I have not had a period in 1 year and 3 months. That's a really, really long time. I've kind of forgotten how it works to have a period. Normally, in my normal like pre-baby, pre-pregnancy life, I use the Moon Cup, which is a really awesome, amazing menstrual cup, I guess. If you've never used one and you feel like it's weird or you're questioning it, don't doubt it. Just use it. It's the best. It means you're never again have to buy a tampon. You don't have to buy pads. It's super sustainable. You buy one time, and it's actually even more hygienic. Like it's awesome. But of course, I wasn't walking around with a goddamn Moon Cup like on me because I don't have a period and I haven't had one in so long. So yeah, I didn't have tampons or anything, you know. And as we're, you know, we said goodbye to our friends and family, I just kind of grabbed Rose, my friend. I was like, damn, like, do you have like 2 euros I could borrow? Could you, I think I need tampons. Like, I forgot. I didn't do anything. Like, I got my period and then I forgot about it. So last minute, right before we go to run to the gate, she hands me like a tiny little box of tampons. If that hadn't happened, I don't know if I would be sitting here alive to tell this story today because of just mortification. I don't know.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. Are you hiring? Do you manage or own a company in the United States? Well, if you do, you need to know about ZipRecruiter. Posting your job in one or two places is no longer enough to find the quality candidates that your company needs. As a business owner, I know these challenges well. These days, you need to post your job to all the top job sites, and now with ZipRecruiter, you can. ZipRecruiter is different. They post your job to 100 plus job sites, and its powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else can. With just one click, your qualified candidate comes to you. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate through the site within 1 day. Time is precious, and as a business owner myself, I know how your time needs to be spent growing the success of your business, not juggling resumes and interviews. Well, now you can quickly screen and organize your people on ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard and hire that perfect person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter is used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/yoga. That's ZipRecruiter.com/yoga. One more time, try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/yoga. We're running through the airport. I realize, okay, I have a situation going. I'm going to need to go to the bathroom and take care of it, but there's no time. Okay, we're super late running through the airport with all of our stuff, with baby, with the dog, with everything. We get to the plane, boarding the plane. I'm like, Dennis, I'm going to have to go and change all of my clothes now. So I couldn't even sit down in the seat because that's how big my situation was happening. So I have to get all my stuff out. I only had one change of clothes with me, and that change of clothing was reserved for like baby peeing or pooping all over me not being able to manage my own stuff. So this is like quite a shock. So I change out of my dirty clothes and into the one clean change of clothes that I have for the entire flight. Once I had that, I sit down and I'm like, okay, like now we must have gotten all the like disasters out of the way. Like now, okay, we're on this flight. It takes off. It's 10 hours. Baby still doesn't want to sleep. So she's cranky the entire flight. She slept for 10 hours. The flight was 10 hours long. She slept 20 minutes, three times, like in little segments spread out through the plane. There was no sleeping. Like there was no, we couldn't eat. We couldn't sit. We couldn't watch a movie. We couldn't like talk to each other. We just were frantically trying to entertain a baby and or bounce her and walk her up and down the aisle because she just was super cranky, super unhappy. So we were dealing with like a lot. There was a lot of tension. We're feeling super stressed. And we know we have like, you know, if you just board a plane and you know you have 10 hours with a crying baby ahead, it's kind of hard to relax into that. But it was what it was. 2 hours into this flight, this is where it starts to get really good. 2 hours into this flight, Dennis is walking up and down, bouncing the baby. I'm trying to eat, I think. I think I have my tray table down. And I'm realizing that Ringo is starting to act really, really strange.
So to tell you, because I get this question a lot, traveling with Ringo, Ringo's a small dog, so he weighs below 15 pounds or below 8 kilos, which means you can take him in the cabin. So we have a little carrier for him where he normally goes with us. Also, so whenever you see if I'm sharing that he's not in a carrier, because sometimes we travel with him and he's not in the carrier. 3 years ago when my friend passed away, I suffered from a lot of anxiety and I had panic attacks and just, yeah, clearly for several reasons, wasn't feeling good. What we did then is we certified Ringo to become an emotional support dog so that I could travel with Ringo on my lap because I started getting really panicky on flights. That's not the case anymore. I still, you know, get anxious, but not for the same reasons, clearly. But if you ever see Ringo like not in the carrier, it's because he has this emotional support dog status, which we try really hard not to abuse. Ringo is an amazing travel dog. So he's traveled on planes, in cars, on buses, been all over the world since we got him. We got him on tour. Actually, we were on a 36 city tour over across the States when we got Ringo. So he's genius at traveling. Basically, we get to the airport. He knows what the airport means. So he immediately pees and poops and then he goes into his little carrier and he chills. And it doesn't matter if we open it 2 hours later or 20 hours later, like he's good. And if we're in places where he's not in the carrier, like for this flight, for instance, he just goes in a little corner on the floor and we put a little blanket on him because he likes to be under blankets and he sleeps. That's it. Not lying if I say that Ringo has been on hundreds of flights, maybe 200 some flights. We've never had an issue with Ringo ever. Like no one even really knows that there is a dog on the plane. He's the perfect, super trained travel dog. But all of a sudden on this flight, he starts acting strange, which is not a good sign. So he's like pulling on his leash. He's trying to leave our little area. So we were sitting in the front of the plane where they can give you a little bassinet for the baby. So we had extra space for our legs, which was really good because we had this big space spread out for the baby where we had blankets and all her toys and all her things and like food. And, you know, so she could sit and lie on her belly and her back. And just that was like our whole area for the baby. And then Ringo was on this little corner under a blanket and he starts pulling like he wants to leave our area, which he's never done on a single flight ever. And then I'm pulling him back and I'm like, Ringo, what are you doing? Come back. And he did that a couple of times. And I was like, huh, that's odd. But I didn't think that much about it because I was really focused on this crying baby that we had. And then again, he starts pulling on the leash. And then I'm like, God, what's happening? And then I look at him and he's shaking, shivering, like really, really, really shaking. Anyone who has a small dog or an Italian greyhound know that they can be really kind of shivering as dogs. So Ringo is always cold. He doesn't have any fur, barely. He doesn't have any, you know, body fat. Like he's just cold as a dog. But when he shakes because he's cold, there's usually like a shake and then a break and then shake and then a break. Also when he's scared or when he's frightened, he shakes a little bit. But this was like a really weird shake. Like he was shaking, shaking, shaking nonstop. And then I suddenly start panicking. And I'm like, wait, what if he's sick? Is something wrong with Ringo? And it's one of those things that I kind of carry a lot is I feel like I'm neglecting Ringo, who is like my original little baby. He was always the baby, sleeps in my bag, kind of sleeps in my arms, travels with us everywhere. He was always the baby. And now we have a human baby. Of course, Ringo has been deprioritized, which I feel really bad about a lot. He's dealing great with everything. Like he's super sweet with the baby and I give him as much attention as I can. But sometimes, like on a flight like this, like it had been 2 hours into the flight and I hadn't given him any attention. So I realized, wait, what if we've been on this flight and he's like sick? What if something's wrong? What if he has a fever? So I pick him up, I put him on my lap. He immediately calms down and stops shaking. So I was like, okay, maybe he was scared of something. Maybe there was a noise or he was just feeling unsure. So I'm holding him on my lap, put my tray table away. They took my stuff. And then all of a sudden he like jumps off my lap and he's trying to leave. And I get like upset. I'm like, Ringo, like what's happening? Come back. So I bring him back. I'm holding him by my feet, looking at him like, what's happening? And then he looks at me and he gives me like the saddest face of all time. And then continues to have massive diarrhea all over the plane. I am not kidding. Yeah. Massive, massive, massive dog poop diarrhea all over our area. So that means that all of the baby's stuff, like everything is covered in Ringo's poop. And I am so shocked by this as it happens. He didn't even squat Like he was just standing up. Like, I feel so horrible that this had to happen to him. Like, clearly he must have eaten something bad the day before, right? He's totally fine now. Like, I'm going to let you guys know now, like, you know, nothing's wrong with Ringo. He was just having like a bad stomach day. But I am so shocked by this because I don't know if you can like fully understand the gravity of being in an enclosed space, like an airplane, knowing you have 8 hours to go with a crying baby and your dog just massively shat all over all of your belongings. Like, can you sit with that realization for a moment of how fucked up that is? Oh my God. So I once read a story about a dog, and this is a thing because we've had these debates about, yeah, whether or not it's unethical that we sometimes travel with Ringo as an emotional support dog, even though technically, I don't suffer from panic attacks anymore. I'm past that like difficult, challenging moment of moving through grief. So is it wrong or is it right? Yeah, I would not endorse or tell anybody to do that. We try really hard to not take advantage. And because Ringo is so good, no one even knows he's present. So it doesn't, you know, in my mind, at least, doesn't matter how we travel with Ringo because no one knows he's there. And he's normally in his carrier all the time. Now he wasn't. And I read this story about someone that had a support dog on a plane that proceeded to have massive diarrhea all over the plane, and it got so bad that other passengers started throwing up and they had to reroute the plane and emergency land. Like, this is a true story. And I'm realizing, like, okay, like, this just happened. And Ringo's super trained. Like, he's amazing. Any dog, like, even, you know, a proper like service dog or any dog can of course have like a bad stomach. Like, that's okay, it's normal. I was gonna say it's a human thing. It's not a human thing, but I mean, it's not Ringo's fault that this happened. But I'm just starting to have this like total moment of panic of like, holy shit, like, I cannot have anybody see this. Like, they can't, like, we can't have the plane find out that this has happened. But the smell, okay, the smell is so profoundly pungent and awful that people are like looking up from their seats. They're looking around and they're of course immediately looking toward our area because we were the ones with the baby. So I decide pretty quickly, we're going to fully blame the baby for all of this right away. And I take all the stuff and all the blankets and everything, and I just fold it all together, hiding the poop, and I wrap it really tight, and then I stick it under my seat, and then I just sit there like in a trance, like, is this real life? And then Dennis pops his head out. He's like, do you smell that? Is that the baby? And I look at him and I go, Ringo just pooped. Dennis is like, what? I'm like, Ringo just poop. And again, he goes, what? Ringo just pooped. And the expression on his face is just, he cannot understand the words that I'm speaking. Like, that's how just mind-blowing, insane it was that happened. And then he says, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. It's like on the blankets and the baby's things. I put it under the seat. I'm like, you know, I think let's just throw it away. Like, we just have to cut our losses now. We just have to throw this away. Can you go in the bathroom and throw it away? And then it says, what? No, like, that's all her nice things. And the blanket that was on top was a really new blanket, like a nice blanket that we just got. And it was new and it was kind of expensive. And then it goes, no, that's her nice blanket. I'm going to fix this. Give me the stuff. So I'm like, okay. He trades me the baby for the poopy blankets. And then he goes into the bathroom. And he remained in the bathroom for about 20, 25 minutes or so. And we were sitting right by the bathroom close, and I hear him, he's flushing. I don't know, maybe he flushed that airplane bathroom maybe like 30 times, I don't know. And when he comes back, he is pale as a ghost, like he's blue. So what happened in there was he immediately started rinsing the blanket, trying to get the poop out. And then the poop got stuck in the sink, and then the sink started filling up with water, and then poop water starts flowing out of the sink and all over the floor and starts seeping out into the hallway of the plane. I cannot believe that this happened. There is poop in the ceiling. There's poop on the walls. There's poop everywhere on the mirror. Dennis is a big man. Like, he's 1 meter, 96 centimeters. He's 6 foot. 6 foot. What is he in feet? 6 foot. I don't know. 6'7"? A lot. He's a tall guy. He's almost 2 meters tall. So airplane bathrooms are very small for a man his size. So as he was trying to clean the stuff, he was just making a ginormous mess. And when he comes out, he does not... Sorry. I can't even tell the story without... He comes out of the bathroom barefoot without his socks because he had to throw them away. Because they were full of poop. Oh, God. And he was just gagging in the bathroom, just almost like kind of throwing up in his mouth, like he was just dying. And then he spent all that time just cleaning up, like using the hand soap and tissues and just trying to clean the whole bathroom, like walls and ceiling and floor and everything. And then I wait like 5 minutes, and then he's like, hey, can you go check? Can you go check, see if it's okay? And I go inside, and it didn't smell like anything. And they must put something in these airplane bathrooms to not make it smell. Like, there must be some way that, because otherwise, like, people poop and pee in there, and it's super confined. Like, it would smell really bad all the time. But it didn't smell like anything, and I could not see a trace of poop in there. So whatever he did very, very, very well.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
I never used to value sleep as much as I do now, in part because I'm a new mom and also because I now sleep in the most luxuriously cozy bedding there is, bedding from Parachute. Our little girl's bed is now just as dreamy as our own, thanks to Parachute's new baby bedding collection. Parachute creates its product with conscious standards that sold me even before I felt the fabric. Parachute manufactures its products in family-owned factories in European regions that are renowned for creating amazing bedding. It's run by fairly paid employees, and it gives back both locally to Habitat for Humanity and globally to the United Nations Foundation Nothing But Nets. The fabrics are 100% natural and made without use of any harmful chemicals or synthetic softeners, details that are non-negotiable for the fabric that my sweet little angel nestles herself into. With a modern design of timeless natural color palettes and fabrics that get softer with every use, your bedding creates a beautiful impact in your home and in our world. Upgrade your bedroom today. Visit parachutehome.com/yogagirl for free shipping and returns. And check out the new baby collection, including swaddle blankets, quilts for tummy time, and cashmere baby blankets as well. You and your family deserve the next level sleep experience. So visit parachutehome.com/yogagirl for free shipping and returns. Try it out for 60 nights, and if you don't love it, just send it back, no questions asked. Go to parachutehome.com/yogagirl today. Okay, and then continuing from here, baby has another 2 poop explosions on her own, which by now, like, this was not even an issue at all. We were happily changing her out of her 6th outfit of the day. No problem. And then all of a sudden, Ringo starts shaking again. And I'm like, Dennis, it's happening. Dennis, he's shaking. It's happening. And he looks at me, what am I going to do? I don't know. Take him into the bathroom. And then he takes the dog into the bathroom and just stays there and then comes out. He says, it's not happening. Like, it's too confined. Like, he's not going. And I'm like, okay, maybe it was a false alarm. Maybe he's just not feeling good. And then he comes back. And oh, mind you, because we're in the corner in the front, no one around us has kind of noticed what's happened. At least to my knowledge, no one knows what's going on. I don't think so. No one like said anything. No one stood up. No one is staring at us. Like, I don't think anyone really knew. I think they thought that the baby had a horrible poop and that was the smell. And then we cleaned it and now it's gone. That's how I like to imagine the story playing out. And then Ringo starts shaking again. And then he turns around and like I can see his tail go up. He's still standing on all fours. He's not even squatting. And then I can see his butthole opening. How is this the theme of an entire podcast episode? I do not know. I take a blanket and I hold it up to cover the baby in case the poop is going to come shooting out of his butt and onto my child. And I kind of yell at him. I'm like, Dennis, take the dog. And he picks Ringo up and he runs into the bathroom where he remained for over half an hour with
the dog. And again, I'm listening to him flushing and flushing and flushing and flushing. And he was in the bathroom much longer this time around than he was the first time. And as he's in there, I realize the fact that he is the one in there with Ringo is absolutely unbelievable, because he doesn't like to travel with the dog. I am the reason that we travel with the dog. Like, I'm always like anxious without Ringo. I'm super nervous when he's not around. I'm always nervous something's going to happen to him. I don't like leaving him ever. So that's also why we travel with him everywhere. But it's always like on me, you know, like Dennis always says, if anything happens with Ringo, it's on you, because I'm the one bringing Ringo along. And we've never, ever had an issue up until now. But somehow Dennis is the one who's in the bathroom, airplane bathroom, with the dog. So what happened is he put tissues all over the floor, and then Ringo proceeded to have massive diarrhea again all over the floor, but this time it was really watery. And as he was trying to clean it up again, it just ended up everywhere, and he was trying to kind of rinse the dog in the tiny airplane sink. And it's just like, he comes out like, again, pale as a ghost, holding Ringo. Ringo is relaxing, like he's not shaking anymore. He did what he had to do, apparently. Falls asleep, and then we're just sitting there like staring into space for the longest time. And then Dennis turns to me, he says, is this really happening to us? Like, is this real? And I go, we don't talk about it now. Like, no, we just power through. We still had another 5 hours of this flight to go. I said, we just power through. We just take this minute by minute. We cannot like lose our shit now. Like, we have to just keep going. We have to just push through this plane. And last thing that happened before we exit the flight is that Ringo puked all over Looney's things. That was the last thing that come out of Ringo, at least. So he puked all over. And by now, we've gone through every blanket that we have. We've gone through every item of clothing that we have for the baby. We've gone through every clothing that I have for myself. Dennis does not have any socks. Like, he's gone through all his own changes of clothing. And we're just sitting there in the front of the plane, like, paralyzed, holding a crying baby and a dog that's sick to its stomach. Wow. Oh, and I forgot to mention this, but all the blankets that were wrapped with the poop that Dennis tried to clean in the bathroom, they're wrapped really tightly in a plastic bag, and they're stuck in the little holder where the bags go over your head. So it's like we have this kind of little surprise package waiting for whoever opens the overhead cabins. It's just the most awful thing. And I know, like, in the big scheme of life, yes, there are worse things. And I had to put this disclaimer on an Instagram post that I shared today about my anger. Like, real stuff happens in the world. I am very much aware of this. Like, me, I know, like, people die. Like, that happens. There are earthquakes. There are hurricanes. There is famine. There is just inequality and racism and sexism and bullshit happening every day. So in the big scheme of things, yes, one awful flight from Stockholm to Aruba, it's not the end of the world. But let me just tell you this, as we lived through this, like, as we sat there covered in poop, trying to hide the fact that our dog was having explosive diarrhea on a 10-hour flight, it did not feel that way, okay? It definitely felt as if this was Armageddon, like, end has happened, the end is here. This is like the culmination of everything that could have possibly gone wrong actually happened. So somehow we finally like land, and, you know, we haven't slept, we haven't eaten, we're just so sweaty, like covered in like every bodily fluid that you could possibly imagine. And I fully like, and I'm not lying, we're never doing this again. We're never ever doing this again. Like, we are not flying. We're not stepping on another flight. The only thing, like, we have some stuff we were supposed to do. None of that is happening anymore. The only thing that I can see on the horizon when it comes to leaving Aruba and having to step on an airplane with a baby again, and a dog, mind you, is our best friends, Patrick and Olivia, are getting married beginning of May next year. We are not flying anywhere until then. And we are only stepping on that flight because of how much we love our friends. That is it. No more flying, no more traveling. The flight from hell has happened and we are done. So that was all for this week. I was going to include some travel tips and stuff, but I have no advice for anyone. I have no wisdom to share. I don't know. I can't travel myself. I can barely, like, apparently on my own, like, take care of myself, like, let alone a baby and a dog and a husband and all of our stuff. I am just counting all of our blessings that we are here and we are in one place and that we don't have to do this for a very, very, very long time. So thank you guys for listening. I hope this brought some laughter into your day. I hope my misery makes all of you guys very, very happy today. I can laugh about this now, like we can both laugh about this now. But I honestly think whenever we do have a flight happening, like Dennis is like not gonna, Ringo is not gonna happen, probably not. So I'm gonna have to find a way to figure all of that out. Maybe we just decide from here on now, everyone just comes to us. Okay, Aruba is beautiful, sun shines all year round. Let's just, like, Patrick and Olivia, if you're listening, wedding in France, I think it sounds totally overrated. Like, who wants to get married in Provence? Like, no, no, no. Aruba, we can do something in our backyard. That would be awesome. We could do something at Island Yoke. I don't know. We'll figure something out. Okay, let's just do the wedding here. And then we never have to fly again. All right, that's all from me this week. It's interesting because I started this podcast off talking about how angry I was feeling and now sharing this hilarious story. All of that anger is gone for the first time all day. So I guess a little comic relief sometimes is just everything that we need. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for you, Ringo. I'm grateful for you, Lea Luna, and for Dennis, and for all of our bodily fluids and everything we went through. I'm just grateful that made me laugh today. And I hope it made you laugh too. I will see you guys next week for an actual seriously amazing topic that is not poop related. Love you guys. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's slightly grosser than normal episode. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to always listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of them on rachelbraithen.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Huge thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work. And of course, thanks to my sponsors, TransferWise, Sunbasket, ZipRecruiter, and Parachute. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I will see you next week.